This morning I want to continue our thoughts in the book of Galatians, yet our thoughts will reflect mainly on another portion of Scripture, but I want to read the Galatians chapter 5 verses 1 through 4 and again focus on falling from grace, the significance of grace in our life. We don't want to fall from grace. That's a sad day in our life when the grace of God is of no value to us and we simply fall away. In Galatians chapter 5 verse 1, it says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ profiteth you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he's a debtor to the whole law, or to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace." The grace of God is significant. It's through the grace of God that we're going to make it. Today we're living in a time when people are falling away. They have no regard for the Word. In fact, they would throw this book completely out. In Canada, I believe, you cannot even teach the whole counsel of the Bible in Canada because it's not politically correct. And there are large fines for doing so. But it could be that our country's headed in the same direction because there are some people that just want to live in sin and they don't want a book or anybody who teaches the book to tell them any different. They want to live the way they want to live and so therefore they do not want to hear that it's wrong or the consequences of what they are doing, what they will be. In Galatians, in chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ." We are called unto the grace of Christ. Now, the calling is to save people. The saved need the grace of God. And those in Galatia had turned back to the beggarly elements, to the law, and departed from the grace of God. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it talks about the failed grace of God, or failing the grace of God. Look diligently, that's present active, that's my responsibility to look diligently, lest any man fail, present active, or fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby may many be defiled. I think when we are falling away from the grace of God, a root of bitterness can crop up. We can become bitter. We can become troubled. It's the grace of God that keeps us sweet. It's the grace of God that keeps us at peace. And not troubled and bitter and angry. It's the grace of God that allows us to accept life as it is. Because we know that God is in charge and that He has provided grace to help us to maintain regardless of circumstances. You know, sometimes when we're singing hymns, I read about hymns, or, you know, read the words in hymns, and they're really not true to the Word of God. God doesn't give us everything we ask Him. God doesn't keep us from getting hurt. We just got through reading or singing about, you know, if we trust God, we're never going to be hurt. Well, that's just not true. We've known saints over the years that have been hurt. Paul, he has been thrashed with a cat of nine tails more than once. But it takes the grace of God to keep us from becoming bitter and troubled. And we need to be looking diligently and lest we fall short. and this is the significance of it. A falling from grace is not an instantaneous thing. It's a process. We give in and we give in and we give in, and the next thing you know, we're not living by grace, we're living by our bootstraps. And so we need to live by the power of Christ and not by our own bootstraps or our own methods. Now, what can grace provide for us? Well, all the way through the epistles, you find what? Grace and peace. And I think in Galatians 1:3, it says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." I believe the grace of God allows us to live in peace, to be at peace, to be at peace with our circumstances, to be at peace with other people. We know that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers in heavenly places. And so therefore we can have peace when we think flesh and blood is leaning on us or getting to us. And I know this, that flesh and blood can get to us. Our neighbors, our friends, our families can get to us. And so it's the grace of God that provides peace in circumstances like that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The word sufficiency there is enough, and it really means to be content. The grace of God provides contentment, and we need to be content. It's people that are discontent that take advantage of others by robbing them of many things, not just money, reputation. In other words, they've got a better one than you, so you tear theirs down. But anyway, the point is this. The grace of God provides contentment, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. In other words, I get out of this verse, God's not short on grace. Just like I know that God's not short on funds. I've never read in the Word where the Lord was in a food stamp line. He's got plenty, and He can take care of us. And so He is not short on grace, and He's able to make it abound toward you that you might be content. Now this really has to do with giving. It takes the grace of God to give. Give of time, give of means. And when the grace of God is working, you can be content with less, and so therefore you can give more. 2 Corinthians 12:9, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." That's the Lord talking to Paul. My strength is made perfect in your weakness, Paul. I'd rather you be weak so that you'll depend upon what? My grace. And then he defines grace, or Paul does. Paul says, "Most gladly therefore will I glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me." What is the grace of God? It's the power of Christ. It's the means that we need to make it. If grace isn't working, we're about to quit. Because if we are troubled and we are bitter, we're working on our emotions and not trusting the grace of God to sustain us, and so therefore we're close to quitting. So we need the power of Christ to rest upon us. Why do we need the power of Christ? To serve Him. Hebrews 12:28, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." And this is really not a very good translation, "let us have grace." It's "may we have grace." And this is continuous action. And the "may" part of it is significant. We may not have grace, and we may have grace. It's our choice. You can get the grace of God, or you can refuse the grace of God. You can abound in the grace of God, or you can fall away from the grace of God. And so therefore, may we have grace. What do we need grace for? We need it for acceptable service. We need it to enter the kingdom. The first part of this verse says, we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. I don't think this is talking about that we're going to move it down the block type move. I think that qualifications to enter the kingdom are established. That's what doesn't change. That's what I believe doesn't move. And so therefore, if we're going to enter the kingdom, we have to allow the grace of God to be operative in our life for acceptable service. I didn't include the next verse, which says, for our God is a consuming fire, but any works done apart from grace are simply wood, hay, and stubble. And wood, hay, and stubble will burn. And so therefore we need the grace of God, we need the power of Christ to serve Him in an acceptable manner. Ephesians 2:8, a verse of Scripture I think is misunderstood. People apply this verse for salvation, the common salvation. I believe this verse is dealing with endurance. And the reason I do is because of the perfect passive participle saved. And you translate a perfect passive participle as having been saved. Ephesians 2:8 is dealing with people or is addressing people that have been saved in the past. That salvation doesn't change. It's the same today. If you're saved 50 years ago, you're still it's just as saved today as you were 50 years ago or 15 minutes ago. So, what is this verse saying? It says, for by grace ye endure, having been saved. And that grace only comes by one method, and that's by faith. You cannot have grace apart from faith. And so therefore, Ephesians 2:8 tells us that by grace ye endure. And by the way, are ye is also translated endure or dureth. I didn't include that scripture this morning, but let me tell you, it's translated that way in the Gospels. Now, Romans chapter 5 verse 2 affirms the fact that it's by whom, that is Christ. Also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How do we get grace? By faith. Faith puts substance to grace. And so therefore, it takes faith to get the grace. Now, another thing that grace does for us is it establishes our heart. In Hebrews 13:9, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. In other words, the grace of God gives us stability. It's out of the heart comes the issues of life. You make decisions, scripturally speaking, out of the heart. It's what goes into the heart that comes out of us that defiles us. It's not food, you know, it's not whether you eat pork or you don't eat pork or you eat meat or you don't eat meat. It's the what comes in through the eye gate and the ear gate and the senses that affect the heart. And it's out of the heart come the issues of life. And it's out of the heart that we make decisions that defile us or decisions that please God. And so therefore, we need to have our heart established with grace. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the reason why faith is essential in grace, because we know where to go to get it. We go to the throne of grace. And why do we need it? Why do we need grace? Because in time of need, we need to have peace. We need to have strength. We need to have stability. We need bitterness to be cast away. We need trouble to be dealt with by the grace of God. And so that we will be steady, we will be steadfast, we will be unmovable. And so we go there to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. And I heard Gene teaching that this morning, that mercy has to do with what? The cleansing blood of Christ. Keep in mind this. Grace is the power of Christ. And it's the grace of God that we serve the Lord. But if you're in bondage to sin, if you're in bondage to fear, if you're in bondage to your imaginations and high things that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, God's not going to give you grace to serve those masters. And so therefore you need to appropriate the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for deliverance from the bondage of imaginations, sins, anxieties, and all the problems that come in our life. Because we can be in bondage to them. We can let them control our life, and we need to have grace in charge and in control. That's the reason why the term throne. Does throne mean anything to us? Well, it means more to the Britons than it does to us, or to some of these foreign lands where they have kings. But you know what? A throne means authority, and grace is to have authority. Then, grace is also a motivating factor. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God I am what I am, Paul says. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. A lot of people say, by the grace of God, there go me. By the grace of God, we're going to do better than there goes me. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Well, what was Paul? Paul was a fervent flame. Paul did not rust out, he burned out, I guess you could say. Though I do believe that we need to pace ourselves and we should not be burning ourselves out. We need to last as long as the Lord wants us to last. But Paul says, His grace was bestowed upon me and it wasn't in vain. His power was put upon me and it wasn't a waste. Now, is God wasting grace on us? Well, that's something that you need to decide. But what does he say? But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. It takes the grace of God for us to work for the Lord and to labor for the Lord. And Paul, he was ever working and ministering to the churches. Now, back in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Christ did not die in vain. Apparently, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ provided a portion of grace that we need in our life today. And Paul says, I do not frustrate, a better word, maybe a better translation, annul or reject it. Can you imagine how the Lord would feel if you reject His grace? When you reject His grace and you annul His grace in your life, you're just saying your death was a waste of time. How would you feel if somebody told you that, man, you're just a waste of time. You're just not worth being around or having, you know? And Paul says, I'm not going to annul or reject the grace of God, because if I do, I'm going to say that Christ's death is in vain. And Paul wasn't going to do it, and we shouldn't do it either. Why? Well, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses in John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And that grace and truth was for those of us today. In fact, Paul said in Acts 20, verse 32, he says, Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. Notice that who the word of grace is to. It's to brethren, those that are entering the kingdom. It takes the grace of God to enter the kingdom. Why? Because this kingdom cannot be moved. You can't get in another way. You can't hop over the fence. You've got to go in the straight gate or the straight way. And so he's saying, Brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. Why? Because it's the word of His grace that is able to build you up. not tear you down. We need to be built up. We need to be strengthened. Sometimes we need to be in a nursing home for therapy to gain our strength. And some of us, well, you know, we come to the nursing home on Sunday for a little spiritual exercise and therapy in the Word. So, but anyway, the grace of God is able to build us up, and it also will provide us what? An inheritance. We're talking about inheriting the kingdom. We're talking about ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. And it's the grace of God, the word of His grace, that is able to give us that inheritance that we want in His coming kingdom. Now, grace comes through Bible study. In 2 Peter 1:2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." That's just why it's important to study your Bible. That's just why it's important to read. The word knowledge here is epinosis. Epinosis is a Greek word that means knowledge upon knowledge. It's a word that means exact knowledge. It's here a little, there a little type knowledge. It's adding to the knowledge. And so grace comes through the study of the Word of God. I enjoy the life of Joseph, because it took grace for Joseph to put up with what he had to put up with brothers like he had, and then a master's wife like he was under. Now, you know, Potiphar's wife, she wasn't very fair. I think Potiphar didn't want to put Joseph in prison. I think Potiphar knew his wife was probably one up and up. But anyway, the Lord worked it out. And then, having been forgotten for 2 years after he interpreted the wine bearers, the cup bearers' dream, forgotten for 2 years. But you know, the Lord's timing is perfect, and grace was, and Joseph was there when the time came for him to be placed in a position of honor and glory in the kingdom of Egypt. So, we just need to study the Word, and studying the Word provides us encouragement to appropriate grace in our life. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We have to grow in grace. You know, our level of trouble, our level of difficulty is not always on the bottom. You know, there are times when we get in more trouble than we want to, and sometimes more than we think we deserve. But you know what? You gotta grow in grace for those real bad times. You know, we've got to just can't stay on the same level of grace. It's gotta be a growing process. We need more of it. More of it. And so we need to grow in it. And it comes with knowledge. It comes with studying the Word of God. Now, why is grace essential? It provides justification. What is justification? It's approval. If you live by faith through grace, let me tell you, God's going to be impressed. The Lord's going to be impressed with you. He's going to be able to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The grace of God will not bestow upon you in vain. You served me by your grace, and it was profitable. It was acceptable. And so therefore we can stand approved by grace. In Titus 3:7, "Being justified by His grace, we should be heirs according to the hope of life for the age." Why do you think Paul served more fervently than them all, as he put it? Is because he had a high appreciation for ruling and reigning with Christ. He wanted the crown of glory. He wanted that crown. And he served fervently. And we will be made heirs according to the hope of life for the age. If you don't want to rule and reign, you know what? You're not going to have very much incentive for grace. If you want to rule and reign with Christ and you want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the joy of the Lord and rule over many cities, you're going to appropriate and find that grace that you need, and you will stand approved if we will. Romans 5, 1 and 2 tells us, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace." I'm showing you that we're justified by faith. In Romans 5, 1, we're justified by grace. In Titus 3, 7, and the two go together. You cannot have the grace of God without faith, because faith gets the grace of God that we need. And so therefore, justification is not salvation. A lot of people want to say that when you get saved, you're justified and glorified in the whole pie in the sky. That is just simply not true. Because you know what? You can depart from the faith. And when you depart from the faith, you have fallen from grace. You cannot get an ounce of grace if you have departed from the faith. And if you've departed from the faith, you're not going to stand approved in His presence. Okay? Now, so we're justified by grace. Now, we need to come to the throne of grace. We've talked about that already in Hebrews 4:16. "Let us come therefore boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, to find grace in time of need." And I read that so I could read Romans 5:21. My, this verse of scripture is a very significant scripture. We all know how sin has reigned in our life. We all got plenty of scars of sin. We all know that we're sinners, and we don't rattle those skeletons around here. We leave them under the blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all those skeletons of sin. So we know how sin reigns or has reigned. But Paul says, "Even so might grace reign through righteousness." Grace won't reign if you're living in sin. If sin is reigning in your life, you're not going to have grace reigning in your life. If sin is reigning, grace won't reign. And it's through righteousness that grace is allowed to reign. And that leads to, the word "unto" can be translated "leads to," age-lasting life. Well, what is age-lasting life? That's ruling and reigning with Christ. It's life in the coming age, which is the millennial age, which is the kingdom age. And if grace reigns today, we will be reigning in that day when Christ comes again. That's the significance of that. So, do we want sin to have dominion over us? No. We're not under the law. If you're under the law, you know who's in charge? Sin. But we're under grace. Now, by the way, let me just say this. Being under grace and not under the law doesn't mean we have license to live like we want to. A lot of people think that, you know, if we're under grace, we can live like we want to. No, that's not true. So therefore, what do we need to be encouraged to be? Strong in His grace. 2 Timothy 2:1. "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Acts 13:43. Paul says to the congregation that left with him, with he and Barnabas, he spoke to them and persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. That's what I'm here to do this morning. I'm here to encourage you to continue in the power of Christ. Continue in His grace. And you won't be short when you come to the judgment seat of Christ. Again, grace needs to reign that we might reign. And then, you know what the last word in the Bible is? Revelation 22:21. Last verse. The last word that God wants to leave with us from His perspective is, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Isn't that something? That is the last word. Nothing else about love and peace and joy. Of course, grace provides all that. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That's what we need. That's the last word. You know, it's the last words of people that mean something. Well, this verse means something to me, and I know it means something to you. May the Lord help us to have His grace, and may it rain today. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You've given us what we need to serve You in a way that pleases You, and that one day we will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Help us, Lord, not to fall from Your grace. Help us, Lord, not to annul Your grace. Help us, Lord, to live by grace, by Your strength and Your power. We ask You, Father, to bless the message to each of our hearts that we might continue in Your grace in these days, that we faint not. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.